AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Lotus Amplifier is an integration coach. She's a spiritual guide, an intuitive, and a microdosing coach. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thanks, George. I'm excited to be here today.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Yeah. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yes. So, you know, my journey began very, very young. My mother passed when I was two. Oof. And yeah, young. And, you know, and I didn't know it at that time, but I kind of spent a large part of my life carrying that grief inside and the confusion of why she had gone. And then, of course, at that age, we're not really familiar with the cycle of birth and death, and only that the world just didn't feel safe. So that early life kind of just set things up for anxiety and depression, where that kind of was constant companions for me inside. And, but I didn't name them. Like I had that persona, like everything was okay on the outside, but inside there was weight and I was sad and disconnected and exhausted. And it would show up through relationships. It showed up through money, through jobs, kept trying to do more, be more, that round peg in the square hole. And I hated being alone. Oh, I hated being alone. And because it felt unsafe and dark. So I would outsource my truth so much, striving to please, to belong, all the while that nervous system was just gripping on for dear life, always in fight or flight. But I just felt that was kind of a normal feeling. But it came about just one day. I couldn't take it anymore. I was worn out. I was tired of proving my life had felt like survival constantly. And I was living kind of in that quiet victimhood, feeling like everything was happening to me instead of through me. So out of exhaustion, I finally just surrendered into it all. And at that point, I'd been in the healing arts for about 20 years, and I just gave up my whole practice, kept a few clients, and I dove into plant medicine. And for the first time, I stopped outsourcing, started listening to inward, and I began to see the mirrors all around me in my dreams, the synchronicities, signals in my body, the messages. And that had always been there. I was just kind of too busy to notice in survival mode. So, and that's kind of when everything changed. My nervous system softened. I felt safe. I no longer tried to prove who I was. I wasn't fixing myself. It became a remembering. So yeah. And that led me to the work I do now, guiding others back to their own remembering through dreams, through imagination, through the body, through working with plant medicine. And yeah. So that's the story in a big short.
That is a, it's, I think it's fascinating how just for me, I've been a financial person for 25 years, but I spent the first 15 of it just struggling through limiting beliefs and feelings of low worth and just ignoring money, even though I was being a financial advisor to other people. And it doesn't sound like it's dissimilar. I think it took me a long time to, not that I have, but at least to notice that I had a lot of unworthiness and I was carrying around maybe things that are similar to what you were describing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because I actually have quite a few clients that are financial in the finance world, and have that same fear and trying to earn more. And it was, I was defining myself by it, right? That was my self-worth, what I did, the relationships, and God, it's just a constant struggle. It's exhausting. So, yeah.
You said mirrors around you that you didn't see before, but then you started to notice them.
Yeah, I like to say they're our own internal packets of wisdom, these codes that we're always receiving. So the reflecting back in our dreams, we receive symbols of who we are, right? We are the person, we are the house. In our waking life, when we want to, it's so much more fun to blame others, right?
For sure.
But when we kind
of... Way easier too.
Yeah, it feels so much better. But really, really, they deserve it. It was about seeing myself, reflecting back, maybe not the billboard that was in front of me, but a part of it, like, where am I disrespecting myself? Where am I judging me? Where is the judger? And then using these kind of codes that were coming through 24/7, and looking at them as mirrors, as lessons that the soul, the subconscious, that part of us is always screaming at us. So
you, once you realized and recognized that these codes are coming in, maybe it's during your sleep or different non-conscious kind of experiences, but how do we actually recognize that they're happening? How do we translate or understand them? And then how do we apply?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that question, because that's the whole key, right? Let's say we have a dream and we'll just take a red ball. There's a red ball in the dream and you have a dream with a red ball. So that's a symbol. Maybe when I was young, I was playing dodgeball and I got hit in the face and my nose was broken, right? Maybe for you, you go to the beach, have this great family friend time with a red ball. So is your symbol, hey, do you have some fun? Is it time to add some fun in your life, or are you already and keep doing it? And for me, is there a fear maybe that I'm being presented with an opportunity, but I'm not wanting to step forward because of fear of a past memory, a past experience? So I feel like our experiences are always, until we kind of get it, are always being shown to us. Now, how that might then come into our waking state is, maybe then the red ball shows up. You know, you see a kid playing with a red ball. So I feel like there's just constant symbols being put in our face, and we're missing it. We're missing it because our nervous systems are just shifting and gripping.
You talked about just being in a constant state of sort of emergency, fight, flight, on kind of high alert. And so when you're in that space, it's awfully tough to be able to recognize those little cues and to be doing the math and to figure out what it is that I'm trying to be told.
Mm-hmm. Yes, most definitely. And that's kind of what, that's where I was. And I like to look at it as functioning anxiety and depression, where...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It feels normal. And it feels like that's what you're supposed to be doing in life, the doing, the proving, the earning. All the while, that's kind of feeding that unworthiness inside. And that's what led me into microdosing. And I started working with a mushroom that I never even thought would come in, and that was Amanita muscaria. And what she did was she works with our central nervous system, different than like other medicines where it's working with our serotonin. And it helps the lessen the gripping of the fight or flight. We're going from sympathetic to parasympathetic. And all of a sudden, there's just this feeling of peace and tranquility inside. And it's very sub-perceptual. But I remember thinking when I first started microdosing with her, I was like, you know, I have been so creative. Like, things started coming through. I started noticing, you know, birds, animals, nature, signs that were coming through. My dreams began to open up, and I really started working with them, and they started reflecting back. As soon as I started looking at those reflecting back and insource, you know, going inwards and shifting from inside out rather than the outside trying to do this, it was this peace that came in that I don't think I'd ever felt. And it was like, wow, I'm going to be okay. And then that remembering came in, working with some of the other medicines, where I like to think that Amanita kind of tills the field, and then maybe psilocybin comes in and aerates. So it's restoring, coming back to restoration. And I feel that in this time right now, that there's so much chaos, our bodies are asking to be heard. And there needs to be a restoring process. And then we can start actually doing our work. So our symbols might start showing up in the physical. We might get a cold. I say it all the time with my clients. They start getting a cold as a release. We might have a pain in our shoulder. What's that saying in our body? So it's about paying attention to us and taking it inward. And we're able to do that when the nervous system has kind of loosened its grip.
I love that term. When the nervous system has loosened its grip. Mm-hmm. Stupid brain controlling everything.
Yeah.
And
I'm here to hear.
So through the mushroom that you mentioned, it's because you don't know if you're just constantly feeling the same way throughout your whole life. You don't recognize it's like a fish doesn't understand what water is, kind of a thing. And I don't really understand what oxygen is, for that matter, not to beat up on fish. But all of a sudden I have that pause, and it's like, oh, I didn't realize I've been in pain for the last 45 years. This is amazing. And wow. And now I'm calm. I let the tension out of my nervous system releases its grip on my body and everything else. And mm-hmm. now I've got a little bit of space to be able to just be or sit or breathe, do all these things, and to start wondering and poking around a little bit and remembering.
Mm-hmm. It restores the rhythm. And I remember I was sitting with my medicine woman, and she said, what are you feeling right now? And I'm like, this feeling, it's in, you know, it was in the upper stomach in here. And she goes, well, what does it feel like? And I said, well, it feels like anxiety. She says, how long has it been there? I'm like, forever. And yes. I didn't know it. And then when I started working with the medicines, it was like, oh, this is what it feels like to be human and safe in the body. And it was the remembering of who we are, not the fixing. And I was always trying to fix myself. So when that came in, it allowed me then to start seeing and viewing things through a different lens, through a lens of my soul, my own innateness, and not the proving and the validation from others.
So fixing, you felt like you were just in a constant state of fixing throughout your entire life of fixing the way I think about myself or people's perceptions of me or what needs to get done and do.
Yeah. The do, right? Like I just needed to take a nap.
Right. Like, wow. Yeah. Not doing is awesome.
Yeah. And I do enjoy a nap now. But there used to be guilt around doing something like that. So it was always earning and proving and doing more. And I just need to be better. The interesting part is there's really no place to get to. I finally just asked, like, well, where am I getting to? And because we're infinite, we're always going to get to a place, and then there's going to be another and another and another, because we're constantly evolving. And so it was kind of like the dog chasing its tail. It was, and ruminating and looping, and it's enough to like make you feel insane at times. And you're not sleeping, you're not treating yourself lovingly. And then people would ask, well, do you love yourself? I'm like, what does that even mean? Right? What does that even mean? Because if you're outsourcing, you're waiting for it from other people.
So where am I trying to get? And once I'm able to break free of that hedonic treadmill, or however we want to think about it, success treadmill for the sake of more success, and I start to tap into remembering who I was before I decided to screw myself over with all the stuff that I do or has been done to me, or I've been affected by all of life's conditioning and all that stuff that invariably we all have piled on us. Is my soul telling me, stop worrying about it, we're going to figure it out? Or is it still my conscious mind who is now free to more fully explore what I really actually do want?
Mm. Yeah, I think that's everything. I think it's all, right? I mean, there's the soul, the alignment with, I mean, isn't the big question is why am I here? Mm. What am I doing? Why am I here? And so the alignment of authentically you, you're not in this constant search mode wanting to find it. You're like, okay, well, this is perfect right here. However, this seems like it'd be really fun. I think I'm going to do this, right? I think I'm going to, I'd like to write a book, or I'd like to take this class, or I'd like to move there. It's being unattached to where that leads us, because I think we miss so many opportunities rather than just feeling. Once we learn to feel, it all changes. And then that's our GPS system, right? But in the process of it, we kind of lose our identity, because our identity is kind of linked to that conditioning. So it can feel wobbly and like, well, who am I now? I'm morphing into this new version of myself. What do I do with myself? And that's when those old, you can kind of catch those old beliefs, old conditionings coming in saying, okay, well, maybe I just don't do. And I follow what feels guided. And that's where it starts coming in. And it's difficult to put words to it till you experience, because words, you know, kind of. And I think that's why I love the sleep state, because we're bypassing the rational mind and we're given this opportunity to receive these codes, these packets of wisdom. But it's learning our own soul's language. Like, you have your language with your soul, I have mine. Yes, we all are as one, but it's individual. And that's what these medicines, I believe, are bringing us back to, is guiding us back to that authenticity, so that there's really no wrong choice. There's just these outcomes. And from these outcomes, we then can, well, this feels pretty good. Or, you know what? I think I want to shift. So it's a continuum.
That all makes sense to me. I have a hard time reconciling pragmatism, and this is just probably I'm screwing it up still. But I've got bills to pay. I've got kids and a house to maintain and stuff. And I want to honor what I want in the present. If I'm not in the mood to do X, Y, or Z, sometimes I still have to do it, or is just being aware of it and getting closer to that winning? Yes? Mm-hmm. No?
No, and that's, I mean, that's a good point, because we have our humanism, right? So then how do we balance the dualities and the polarities of life? How do we know what we do want if we don't experience what we don't? What I have found is those kind of routine, mundane things that we do don't feel as mundane. They don't feel as, I mean, you pay your bills, there's an outcome that you kind of like, right? You don't pay it. And it's not right or wrong. You choose. And so it's being embodied in our humanism, being human, having the human experience, allowing that divine wisdom to come through our body. We're still paying the bills. We're still having to work, but possibly we begin to shift our work. Maybe something, you know, the creative flow comes in and like, oh, I've always kind of wanted to do this. Thank God I have this, so I can do this. So our perspective changes. How we look at it changes. It's not as mundane. Does that make sense?
It does. It does for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, well, I think it all makes sense. And that first recognition, the realization that it can be different, and then moving towards making that different and breaking through that, the nervous system's grip on us, and realizing that we get to choose, and just because we've been doing something a certain way and feeling a certain way for a long time doesn't mean that that's all that there is.
And I think we can get stuck in that healing loop and the, we got to do this first rather than when, and that's the nervous system, right? That's the gripping. So when that central nervous system is soothed, everything else kind of comes in. That's kind of like the core. And so vagus nerve comes in, our pineal gland, we begin sleeping. So if we're sleeping, we actually have more energy to do the things that we thought were mundane that don't feel that. So I mean, I look at sleep as the number one medicine. And so it's kind of that 24/7 loop. And that's why when the medicines, I start working with them and then bringing into my practice, they're like allies, teachers, guidance, and they become like this relational type. And we look at things different. We look at the world different. And our nervous system is not gripping, and then the healing can happen. If it's gripping, it's not going to hold. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's so exciting that we've, I almost said that we've figured out all these things when in fact human beings have been aware of the power of plant-based medicine for as long as there have been human beings in plant-based medicine. But good news that we finally figured it out here in 2025, Linda. But it is exciting that it's so much more accepted and perhaps more understood and more accessible to people, because it could be and is a major unlock for so many people.
Yeah. And I think that we have to be really careful when we come into these medicines that we're also not looking at it as a fixing. Mm. I like to, I mean, they're just allies, right? So we're adding them to our yoga or to our exercise, to our meditation. It's just part of the circle. And we have to get out of that Western model of taking a pill and it fixes us. This is not a fixing. You still have to do your work, and it's a moment, and it's good to sit in a container with someone and let them witness it and hold space while you allow everything to move. And I think body work, therapy, whatever it is, it's an addition to.
I love it. Makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Well, Linda, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
So my website is lwsamfire.com. All my information is there. I run a dream series alongside microdosing 4 times a year. Run retreats, and I do one-on-one work to get people started with microdosing and begin remembering themselves.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Lydia your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to LW Samphire. So it's LWSAMPHIRE.com. Check out all things Linda and what we've been talking about today. And I certainly invite you to explore this and to find out if there's opportunities for you to be getting closer to the life that you truly want and getting back to our original and authentic souls as it would be. So thanks again, Linda.
Thank you so much, George. Appreciate it.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.